I identify with everyone who just loves girls. If you take me home, you might be surprised. There's more to me than meets the eye.
Obviously, they just love girls. This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and welcome to my February show. This month, I'm visiting with two acts I like quite a bit, the duo Sugar Beach, and later in the show, singer-songwriter Phil Putnam. Sugar Beach is comprised of Marley Walchuk of Vancouver, Canada, and Tully Cullender of Sydney, Australia. They are partners on and off stage, and Tully moved to Vancouver in 2007, and they formed the group Sugar Beach. As for I Just Love Girls, Tully and Marley tell us about what inspired that song.
We wrote that song before we came up with the name Sugar Beach. We'd come to Canada, and we weren't really sure where we fit in, and we were noticing that partly in the gay community, people had their own little groups, and we just wanted to say to them, I guess, that we're all together and we all, in terms of for the lesbians, we just all love girls and that's what we're about. We don't want to be in separate groups. You know, it shouldn't make any difference how I want to wear my hair. I love women and that's it. So that's kind of where the idea came from, and it just kind of appeared. The song just came, and it was really fun to write, and it was just really fun to do something upbeat, and yeah.
And it really started it all.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it was the reason that we decided to put out our first album and to create the group, because the song, I mean, different songwriters have different feelings about how they get their music. Mm. We have a very strong feeling that it comes from another place. So that would mean, you know, whatever you believe, that your spirit world or, you know, whatever is your choice of belief. But sometimes we feel like conduits for the music that comes through us. So for us, it came very easily, very quickly, and we just knew that something had begun here. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was the work that we want to do inside the gay community, which is to just keep coming out and out and out and let people know that they're not alone, and try and fight for more human rights. And, you know, so it's...
And keep everybody unified.
And keep everyone unified. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Because there is a lot of separation within our community. And it, I guess when you come into it a little later, sometimes you're kind of like that, you know, that guest that everyone invited. And all of a sudden they walk in the room and go, oh, I've noticed that things can be a bit odd here. So what can we do to help that? You know, so we do see it as a little bit of a mission to just keep heading on in and doing what we can.
And the song I Just Love Girls attracted a lot of attention very quickly. It was the lead track of the EP they released in 2007, and right away they began performing at many Pride events all over. In fact, that led to one of their most popular songs, one called Living Out Proud.
Living Out Proud was a song that we wrote for the Vancouver Pride Society. They needed a theme song for last year's Pride, and we were actually sitting having a drink one night, and they said, you know, we were thinking of running a contest to do a song, but now we've run out of time. And I was talking to the president at the time, John Boychuk, and I said, well, I'll write you a song. And he laughed. He thought, you know, like we've got 2 weeks or something. So he thought this was hysterical. So I said, well, we can do this. I mean, this is something that, you know, we can get our heads around it. So within a couple of weeks, I sent him a quick idea and told him that in 2 more weeks, he was actually going to have it on his desk. And I sent it over to him. and they absolutely went over the moon with excitement. So they've been using it now for 2 years on all of their ad campaigns. And of course, we sang, you know, the death out of it for for the last couple of years in every Pride event that we had. And then we also had gifted it to the community. And in doing that, people were able to download it. I think they still can for free off the Vancouver Pride website, as well as ours. And as a result of that, ended up getting 11 cities around the world using it for their Pride celebrations. So it was wonderful. So it ended up, you know, going everywhere. So it's been amazing for us, and the song seems to be very powerful, and people seem to be quite taken by it.
Living up, living up, living up proud. It's okay to stay undercover. Everyone that steps forward makes it easier for another. You wish you could change the world. You can start with your own. You say the price is just too high. What's it costing you the way you're going? We're here with open arms to take you through. Every color from every walk of life, we fly this rainbow, 'cause every love deserves every right. We've got to be fearless, no shame, no pain. To get the world to hear us, we need your voice, we need your claim. Come to bat for us. Authenticity and truth. And those who really love you, they will march with us too.
That track is from their CD released last year called Not Deserted. And the song Not Deserted was the one they picked when I asked of what song on the album they were the most proud.
Oh, wow. Gee, that's really a hard question. You know, for me, I really love Not Deserted because of the meaning behind it and the fact that it is, it was totally connected with the suicide of Carl Joseph Hoover, the 11-year-old boy who killed himself partially from anti-gay bullying. And then when I started to research more, I realized that we'd lost by, I believe, April, we'd already lost 3 or 4 middle school children in the States for the same reason to suicide from anti-gay bullying. And I was just shocked. So this song for me is like the 5 minutes, if I could have had 5 minutes to talk to them before they made this decision to do this. This is partially at least what I would have said to them. So I hope that at some point in time it gets to kids in places where they feel they are very alone and that they're the only ones. Because a lot of these kids are so young, sometimes they're not even sure how they identify yet. But the cruelty in schools can be mind-boggling. And they're just seeing no way out other than to take their lives. So I guess for me, the message of that one is particularly powerful.
Your throat is parched and dry, wind blows sand in your eyes. Everywhere you look is emptiness. Your feet are sinking deeper, pulling you down even weaker. What's the point? It keeps running through your head. It's better this way you're sitting. You're over it and hurting. The heat is just too much for you to bear. What if tomorrow it all changed? What if it cooled and it rained? What if an oasis was waiting? Just over there. Your life is not a desert, and you are not deserted. Send a flare to let us know you're there. This hopelessness you feel is a mirage, and what is real is you are powerful, you are perfect, you can steal. Possibly envision the effect of your decision on those who love you and those who hear about it. There's so much beauty waiting, magic you're creating. To this world you are a gift. Giving up just lets them win. Yell stop till they listen. You can handle anything. Tell one more person what you felt. Seek a little more help. Promise you'll give it. Just one more sleep. Your life is not a desert, and you are not deserted. Send a flare to let us know you're there. This hopelessness you feel is a mirage, and what is real is you are powerful, you are perfect, and you can steal. What if tomorrow feelings pass and you found the strength that lasts? What if you stood up and made all those vultures fly away? Your life is not a desert, and you are not deserted. Send a flare to let us know you're there. This hope. A mirage, and what is real is you are powerful, you are perfect, and you can steer. God's got enough angels, we need you here. You gotta know, we need you here. Yeah, we need you, we need you. Yeah. You can't stand up, you can't stand up. We need you here.
Suitcase wheels on the hardwood floor. Every detail planned like a beautifully orchestrated score. Your perfume's moving down the hall like it's running after you. If I could just lift these lead feet, I might do that too. Something tells me you mean it this time. Don't you think goodbye would have been nice? If I'd known this would be our last night together, I'd have laid last chance to touch you. I have felt every need and made you stay. We fought too much and talked too little. We slept on the couch too many nights. I guess I kinda liked it, 'cause the making up seemed to make us right. When you said you'd had enough, I thought you meant we need to work on this. There's so much I need to tell you, like how I live for the taste of your kiss. You're not answering your phone like you did last time. I wouldn't stop crying. If I'd known this would be our last night together, I'd have laid awake to memorize your face. If I'd known this would be my last chance to touch you, I'd have felt every need and made you stay. I want one more chance, I want one more night, I want one more look in your smoldering eyes. One more hold me, one more babe, I'm home. One more I love you, I want. Chance to touch you, I'd have felt every need and made you stay.
After you heard the song Not Deserted, I wanted to be sure you knew that Sugar Beach was also very good at slower songs. That one was called If I Had Known. Tell me about how you picked your name.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, we went on the internet. Thank God we have the internet now, because otherwise we probably would have had a name or two that everyone else had. But we punched in. We liked the sugar. We like that bit. We tried Sugar Beets, Sugar Bitch, Sugar, I mean, we went through the whole thing, Sugar Butch. I mean, there was like a million sort of, you know, we wanted a bit of a gay connotation as well. But it turned out that everything was taken. And then I said, why don't we go on and look at some art, because I'm also a painter, and often artists will name their art, their art, interesting things, and you can get some good names. And we went on this site, and we found this beautiful painting called Sugar Beach, which we didn't realize at that very second. It actually was a place in Hawaii. And then when we did a little more research, we thought the more we sat with it, the more we just loved it. And the fact that Nat is, Natalie is from Australia. And of course they're known for their beaches, and we're very beach oriented, even though we don't hang out in the sun. We love the beach life. And we also think that, you know, beaches are kind of sexy, and the name Sugar is sexy, and Sugar also has some sort of sexual undertones as well. So we just put it together and thought, yeah, this could work for a band name.
I guess Sugar Diabetes was already taken.
Yes, yeah. Right. See what I mean? And thank goodness we checked that out.
The last song I want to cover is Mama, I Love Her. Can you tell me about that song?
Mama, I Love Her, we have two friends who came from a country that we won't mention just at this moment. There's lots of turmoil over there. And their religious and cultural background absolutely forbid them to be gay and be open. It actually wasn't safe. So they moved over to North America and lived quite happily, decided about how long ago?
So it was together for 7 years, and then they decided to come out to their mothers.
And that was disaster, just absolute disaster. The mothers threatened them. They threatened to bring the brothers over. They threatened death. They threatened everything they could to try and get them to split up. And they literally moved, these two mothers moved in with our friends for 2 months, or sorry, for 6 months. And it didn't work. And the mothers eventually left, and the friends are still together. And we wrote the song as totally inspired by their story and how difficult it was for them. And finally, they just had to go, look, this is the way it's going to be, and you've just got to, you got to accept it. I know it goes against everything that we've been raised with, but this, the world is changing, and you've just got to love me anyway, you know. So yeah, and we've been only had a couple of months of performing that because the album obviously is very new. But every time we do it, we get people come up to us and say, "Oh, that's so much like my story," or "I know a friend who went through that." Or so again, another powerful song for us. We're very, very happy to have it or to have written it.
Mama, I can't keep living with words unspoken. No matter what you believe, I can't be fixed, 'cause I'm not broken. If I had a choice, I wouldn't choose this. You have a choice, accept me or lose this. Game for far too long. You say I sound so happy, have I met someone? I move away with the phone so you won't know she's home with me. You heard me right, she's what I need in my life. I think you better sit, I'm gonna just say. Religion and traditions keep us apart.
Don't upset your father.
So he stays in the dark. Should I just hide so your pride can stay intact? I'm sorry you're in pain, so ashamed, and you want your little girl back. This isn't something I've become. I've known it, I've
بذارم از پیشم بره
ماما you know me
حالا که میدونی
you can disown me
میخوای نفرینم کنی
oh you can understand and love me as I am
Again, that was Mama I Love Her from the album Not Deserted, and you can find out more about Sugar Beach at www.sugarbeachmusic.com. And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. And I've got another interview coming up right now with an artist I much respect, Phil Putnam. Phil released his first recording in 2001, and there have been five since then. And this time period covered the time he was coming out, so there's been a lot of growth on and off the CDs. I started with his latest album. Tell me about the album, Casualties.
Well, Casualties is my latest record, and it was recorded mostly in 2007, 2008. And where it came from was me realizing that when I looked at myself and thought of myself as a person, I didn't see really who I was today. I saw the fat, girly, dorky, you know, social reject of junior high. And I thought, well, that's just stupid, garbage thinking, because who I am now is quite different than who I was then. And so I started thinking through the ways in which I could possibly close that gap, where I could, you know, really sort of update the way that I viewed myself and make it fit with who I am now as opposed to who I was then. So the songs from Casualties all came sort of what I like to refer to as kind of that ghost hunt, you know, finding out the ways in which I was still stuck on my past and working through those issues and coming through to viewing myself in the truth of who I am now. And that's really where all the songs on Casualties came from.
You had a lot of success this year with the song More Than This. Could you talk about that song?
Yeah, sure. I love the journey of this song because it's such a good example of how the song leads the way, not the artist. More Than This was actually written for my album Best of Intentions, and it was written at the very beginning of that process. So that was written back in 2004, and it got about halfway through the recording process, and I decided to cut it because it just wasn't coming together. And I put it on the shelf and didn't really think much about it, you know, from that point on. And so fast forward to 2008, when my producer and I are just getting started on song selection for Casualties. And he says, you know, I think we need another fast song. We've got a lot of good singles, but I think we need another fast song to really lead off the album. And I said, well, you know, I've got More Than This sitting back on a shelf, and I really don't think it's going to work, and I'm not even sure we should do it, but let's demo it and see how it goes. And then, you know, what do you know, it totally, you know, takes over the album and becomes the first single, and it's so fun for me as a writer to see how sometimes my songs think, you know, you are such an idiot, I'll have to show you what you need to do. And that's how More Than This ended up on Casualties.
Odd month, odd year, odd day for a beginning. New world, same fear, how's he gonna fit in here? Brown hair, green eyes, but this one, he's special. He'll take his time and do his best to fit in here. And I can't help but wonder, was he made for something more than this? Was he made for something more than this old world and this old life provides? So much alone, so clear, he's seen that there's more to own than what it takes to fit in here. So keep close, stand by, watch those around him. They'll change his mind about the way to fit in here. And I can feel and wonder, was he made for something more than this? Was he made for something more than this? Was he made something more than this old world and this old life provides? And he wonders how his life could look to the angels who guard him at night. Are they working for a worthy cause, or is he just a waste of their pride? Was he made for something more than this? Was he made for something more than this? Was he made for something more than this old world and this old life provides? Dig down, sit still, 'cause this could get messy. 'Cause what would you kill to find a way to fit, find a way to fit, find a way to fit in here?
Tell me about the song and the video for I'm No Prize.
Well, that was a fun one, that's for sure. And I almost didn't write it, which now I'm so glad that I did, because it's really become, I think, my signature song of the year and really brought a lot of the success that I've had this year, for which I'm very grateful. What had happened was, in general, I'm a pretty confident person when it comes to dating, but when I was writing Casualties, I hit this 6-week period out of nowhere where I was just the biggest sopping, spineless mess when it came to dating and thinking that other people would find me attractive, and I'm never going to find a boyfriend, and I'll never get another date, and all this stuff, this rampant insecurity that came up. And I was intrigued by it, and so I thought, well, you know, why not turn it into a song? But I knew that I wanted to start exploring a new area in my music that was a little more fun and flirtatious, not necessarily sexual, but just the way that I would do sexy, which is dorky and white, you know. So I started playing around with this lyric and thought, I want to make this song fraught with meaning like all my others, but I wanted it to also have a tongue-in-cheek feel and really start to use comedy as a way to communicate a message. So I started working on I'm No Prize and really fell in love with it. And it's a little-known secret. You're the first to ever hear this, but there is actually a lost verse of I'm No Prize, the fourth verse that I wrote and then I cut. So maybe someday that'll surface. But the writing process was really fun, and then the recording process was just as great. I mean, I've never made a song exactly like this before, so it was a great stretch technically and just a whole lot of fun to make artistically. And then the video came along, and I knew that I needed to make a second video after the success of More Than This. And I knew I wanted to go with I'm No Prize, and so I wanted something colorful and fun and very up. And I kind of wanted it to look like a pastry counter, you know, very bright pastel colors and just very tongue-in-cheek and sarcastic and a little bit sexy and flirty, like the song is. And so I put together this concept with my director, my video director out who works out in Sacramento, California. And we just had a really fun time making it. And I got a bunch of my good friends to come out and roll around in bed with me in their underwear. And it was a good 2 days on the set, not going to lie.
Besides the humor of that video, I thought it interesting that all the guys seemed to be a bit older than you. Was there a statement or a message there?
Well, you know, there was, absolutely. I wanted as much of a diversity as I could find and could, you know, schedule of race and build and age and look. And that's part of the message of the video and of the song is that there's sort of that every piece, every expression of who we are has beauty and has value. It's a prize in itself. And so there are actually a few men that are younger than me as well, but it's also because most of those guys are true friends of mine that I've known for years, and most of my friends are older. So that's sort of where the age range came from. But I wanted to get as much of a span as I could.
If I'd known you were going to make that kind of video, I would have flown in and begged to be in it.
Well, that is sweet. Next time I do a booty video, it's all you.
Well, not necessarily that, but...
I was just going to say, the video was... It was a stressful shoot, just logistically, but when the camera was on, it was so much fun. And most of the stuff was actually shot separately. I wasn't actually in the scenes with the guys, which was, you know, my loss. It was definitely a good experience, and you know, my only concern was hitting the right tone, because I thought if people think that I expect them to take me seriously as a sex symbol, this is just going to be a nightmare, because that's not me. I mean, me being sexy is me being myself. So I was really concerned about hitting the right tone, and I watched the dailies after the second day and realized that I was fine. You know, no matter what the editing was like, I knew that we had gotten the footage that we needed. And so that was really what made me start to realize that this video could really make an impact and could really be something very fun to watch and be a part of.
Well, the video shows Phil in bed with many, many guys, and that should make you plenty curious. You can see the video on my site, but here's the song, I'm No Prize.
I wouldn't trust how you feel, 'cause right now you're thinking that I'm quite a fine, handsome and witty and real. Well, I can't disagree, my dear, but give us a few more dates and I guarantee that the reasons that you give for wanting me now are the reasons you're gonna flee. I'm no prize, I'm exactly the way you see me now, a carnival toy with a smile, like the foamy rubber things that grow in water overnight. It's fun to watch me rise. But I'm no prize. that I am is the kind of man you can't live without. But it's a drug, it's a high, it's hello and goodbye, and what goes up has to come down. At no price, what you see is exactly what you get. Chatty and bratty and sharp, and I swear to you on Elton John's pink feather chaps, fantastic on the thighs. To save you some time, I'm just trying to save myself another break of the line. I'm no prize, all my baggage is matching and packed, but mostly I'm just me. Like Christmas morning after all the novelty is gone, tinsel lights, whoa. I got the remnants of my confidence just scissor kicking by. Ain't gonna lie, no, 'cause I'm the boy who everybody wants and the one nobody keeps, and that's just the way it flies.
Can you talk about the reception your videos have gotten on Logo?
Yes, man, it's been amazing. I did the math recently, and I have been on the top 10 chart on Logo this year for 46 weeks of this year. I just, my mind is blown, especially when I think about the fact that I wasn't even going to make videos. I've only put out two so far in my entire career. The first one was for More Than This, and the second one was for I'm No Prize. And I decided to throw together, they scraped together a tiny little budget to do the More Than This video. And it turned out that it was just fantastically received, and it set the record for the longest running video, longest consecutively running video in Logo's history. It was on the chart for 20 consecutive weeks. 19 of those weeks it was in the top 5. It only dipped below 5 once in the entire time it was on. And then I'm No Prize has already broken that same record. It's gone on, I've lost count at this point, but it's still on the air. It's been number one twice, and it's just been so humbling and gratifying to see the way that fans have stepped up and supported the videos and really found the message in them as well as the fun. I'm just so touched by all that.
As an artist, can you correlate the videos to album sales?
Not really directly. I think that it definitely helps, especially with iTunes sales. But I think the way that it relates is that there are so many more people across the country and even around the world that are aware of my music now because of the videos and the exposure that they've had on Logo. So that does relate to album sales in the way that the more people know about it, the more people that there are to choose to buy it.
In 2004, you released an album called All the Courage Required, and from it, I want to ask you about the song Courage.
Well, Courage is a really important song in my career and also in my life, because the whole album of All the Courage Required was me looking at various subtleties of what I felt it meant to live a truly courageous life. For me, courage is a matter of emotional honesty. That's what real courage is, and that's the kind of courage that I think empowers a very influential life, somebody who's going to really impact the world around them and make a positive difference in the lives of those around them. So the song Courage has continued to be extremely important to me. And it's also become something that's become special to other people, especially in the gay community, you know, dealing with marriage equality right now and so many equal rights issues in America that we have to deal with that require genuine, significant courage. And so I'm really glad that the song has been able to impact others in the ways that it impacts me.
Do you have a backbone to spare? I need to stand up straight if I'm gonna stay alive. It looks like I'm underprepared to open my skin and live in my life. 'Cause I never knew how much energy this would consume. The tax and the toll have me asking a question or two. Have all the courage required to swallow this sobering wine? Do I have all the courage required to stand and be blind in the light, blind in the light? Looking behind me for clues, the past to help me decide if it's a help or a harm when someone so young feels sold inside. My view from the top of the world has been spun like a wheel. Maybe I'm not so surprised by the way that I feel. All the courage required to swallow this sobering wine. Do I have all the courage required to stand and be blind in the light, blind in the light? And if you hand it to me, the heart of a lion, required to swallow this sobering wine? Do I have all the courage required to stand and be blind? Do I have all the courage required to swallow this sobering wine? Do I have all the courage required to stand and be blind in the light, blind in the light?
I'm down to the last song, but before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening. And I want to especially thank Marley and Tully of Sugar Beach and Phil Putnam for the wonderful interviews. You can hear a little more of my interview with Phil at my website, where there's a second part of this month's show. That, of course, can be found at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. To find out more about Phil Putnam and his music, please visit www.philputnam.com. Closing the show, I asked Phil to tell me about the song Here to Stay.
Here to Stay was significant in a number of ways, not just because of the content, which if you've heard the song, it's obvious that, you know, the message that it has to our gay audience. And so I wanted to write something that was a little more like Ben Folds, a little more of the rhythmic piano rock. And eventually what came to be the story was the story of a father and his son contending over this son's sexuality. And whenever I write a story that seems standard, kid comes out, gets disowned by his family, I always want to put a different twist on it. I don't want to just tell the same old story. But it made me sit back and think, okay, does this story need to be told? And I thought through all the friends that I've got who are going through all kinds of difficulties with their families, all the people I know about who are still being discriminated against by the ones they love most because they're gay. And I thought, this is absolutely a story that has to be told right now because nobody's telling it. You know, it's something that, you know, we've got Will and Grace on for 8 years and people think across the country that being gay is just, it's cool and it's accepted and that people don't have a problem with it anymore, but that is completely not the case. And so I thought if there's ever a time that those who are being discriminated against need a voice, it's now, when people think that it's not an issue anymore. I also wanted to make sure that I wasn't writing a story where the kid who comes out is just this weakling that's cowering in the corner. And I think that when you have this kind of difficulties in your family, also both sides have consequences rather than just the dad gets mad and the kid gets kicked out. And so I wanted to make sure that it was presenting both sides of the experience, but presenting a strong gay man or a gay woman, somebody who wasn't just cowering and afraid, but was willing to stand up for themselves. And that's where the title was born from, you know, Here to Stay.
Daddy told you something about the way the world runs when he laid the law on who you are and who you're supposed to love. Detailed expectations for the futures of his own, 'cause no pansy little homo boy is welcome in his home. And you don't have a thing to say, but nothing's gonna change that way. So let him know you're here to stay, here to stay. Rhapsodic about the days when life was good, when a faggot's life stayed weeping in the closet like it should. His arrogance is growing and your dignity is small, and the further that he pushes you, the further that you fall. And you don't have a thing to say, but nothing's gonna change that away. So let him know you're here to stay, here to stay. And maybe if the story turned as sharply as his jagged words, he'd see past his pride to the cause. Sound, you have to open up your mouth and say that enough is enough. So now you're telling Daddy about the way your world spins, how respect and permission are Siamese twins. You know the time has come to bring these consequences down, so it's his to choose, it's love or lose, the clock is ticking now. And you don't have a thing to say, but nothing's gonna change that away. So let him know you're here to stay, here to stay.